Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio. We make a new program for you every other week with a discourse by Osho and music from the world of Osho, composed and played by people who have a strong connection with him. This 1 hour program is meant to be a meditation for you. Maybe out there in the busy marketplace, just use this 1 hour to be with yourself and relax. And most of all, enjoy the beautiful words and silences by Osho and the wonderful music.
somebody leaves and you wonder why. You can ask any question, but don't ask me why. It ain't why, it just is. And anything can happen, and it probably will. It's the way we live our lives. It's the way.
Today's discourse is from the series Vita Spirituale number 11, the first question. Somebody is asking Osho about the quality of nothingness. Is there any quality in nothingness? In the discourse, Osho is explaining the difference between a dead nothingness and a very much alive emptiness. It is important to become aware of a negative nothingness, a negative emptiness inside, or a positive emptiness. I remember before meeting Osho, I was meditating, doing Zen meditation, and all the time inside my head there was like a big gray cloud. It was a very dead emptiness. Until I met Osho and doing his active meditations, I realized that there can be a throbbing emptiness, an emptiness full of life and energy. This discourse is all about that. You can download the full discourse through oshoworld.com. On that website you can download over 3,000 discourses. It is easy to obtain this discourse, and it will make your day even more beautiful.
Nothingness can either be just emptiness, or it can be a tremendous fullness. It can be negative, it can be positive. If it is negative, it is like death, darkness. Religions have called it the hell. It is hell because there is no joy in it, no song in it. There is no heartbeat, no dance. Nothing flowers, nothing opens. One is simply empty. This empty nothingness has created great fear in people. That's why in the West particularly, God has never been called nothingness except by a few mystics like Dionysius, Eckhart, Bohme, but they are not the main current of the Western thinking. The West has always conceived nothingness in negative terms. Hence it has created a tremendous fear about it. And they go on saying to people that the empty mind is devil's workshop. The East has known its positive aspect too. It is one of the greatest contributions to human consciousness. Buddha will laugh at this statement that emptiness is devil's workshop. He will say, only in emptiness, only in nothingness, godliness happens. But he is talking about the positive phenomenon. For Gautam Buddha, for Mahavira, for the long tradition of Zen masters and the Taoists, nothingness simply means nothingness. All things have disappeared. And because things have disappeared, there is pure consciousness left behind. The mirror is empty of any reflection, but the mirror is there. Consciousness is empty of content, but consciousness is there. And when it was full of content, so many things were inside, you could not have known what it is. When the consciousness is full of contents, that's what we call mind. When consciousness is empty of all contents, that's what we call no mind or meditation. To create nothingness in you, is the goal of meditation. But this nothingness has nothing to do with the negative idea. It is full, abundantly full. It is so full that it starts overflowing. Buddha has defined this nothingness as overflowing compassion. The word compassion is beautiful. It is made out of the same word as passion. When passion is transformed, when the desire to seek and search the other is no more there, when you are enough unto yourself, when you don't need anybody, when the very desire for the other has evaporated, when you are utterly happy, blissful, just being alone, then passion becomes compassion. Now you don't seek the other because you are feeling empty and lonely. Now you seek the other because you are too full and you would like to share. The enlightened person also seeks the other, just as the unenlightened person seeks. But there is a qualitative difference. The unenlightened seeks the other because he feels a negative nothingness in him. Left alone, he does not feel aloneness, he feels loneliness. Remember, loneliness and aloneness are not synonymous, notwithstanding what the dictionaries go on saying. It is not a question of language. It is something existential. Loneliness is negative. You are missing something. Aloneness is positive. You have found something. The unenlightened seeks the other because it is his need. He is needy and greedy. He grabs the other. He clings to the other. He is always afraid the other may leave. Husbands are afraid. Wives are afraid. Parents are afraid. Children are afraid. Everybody is afraid. Even your so-called religious teachers are afraid their disciples may leave them. So they have to concede and compromise with the disciples. Can you see the irony of it? Jaina monks send messages to me that we want to see you, but we cannot, because our followers don't allow it. They become angry. They become antagonistic. Now, the teachers are afraid of the followers. What kind of teachers are these? They need the follower, because without the follower they are nobody. And that is the power in the hand of the follower. The follower really dictates the rules. He says, do this, say this, behave like this, only then I am going to respect you. Of course, I will respect if you follow all the rules prescribed by me. It is a contract. The enlightened also seeks the other. Jesus moved from one village to another. For what? Mahavira traveled thousands of miles on feet for what? For 42 years, Buddha was going. He was always on the go. Even when he was very old, 82, he was still moving from village to village for the simple reason that somebody has to be found with whom he can share. But now it is not in need, hence he will not compromise. It is not a need, hence he will not purchase. It is not a need. In fact, it is just the opposite of it. It is abundance. He is like rain cloud, full of rain water. It wants to shower somewhere. If it can find a garden, good. If it cannot find a garden, then too it has to shower. It may shower even on the rocks. It does not matter, but it has to shower. When the flower opens up, the fragrance has to be released. Whether anybody comes to know of it or not is immaterial. It is not a need. It is overflowing joy. When there is overflowing love, it is compassion. Passion arises out of negative nothingness, and compassion arises out of positive nothingness. Buddha says, defines that the real man of wisdom can be judged only by one thing, his compassion, his love. He will be radiating compassion. He will be always ready to help people on the path. The people will be insulting him. The people will be in every possible way against him. The people will be angry at him because the people are fast asleep, and to put them on the path, he has to wake them up. And nobody likes to be awakened because people are dreaming beautiful dreams. And you shake them and you wake them and you destroy their dreams, and that's all that they have got. Otherwise they are lonely. Otherwise they are empty. So they are somehow filling their inner spaces with dreams, projections, imaginations. And the function of the master is to destroy all your dreams, to make you empty of all content. But when you drop all content consciously, deliberately, you are not lonely. You become alone. And aloneness is beautiful. Loneliness is ugly. Loneliness is like a wound. Aloneness is like a flower. Loneliness is sick. Soren Kierkegaard has called it sickness unto death. And aloneness is life, abundant life. It is health. The Sanskrit word for health is very beautiful. The English word has also its own beauty. Health means the wound is healed. It comes from healing. The person is no more sick. But the wound of negative nothingness is no more there. It has healed. It is beautiful, but nothing compared to the Sanskrit word for health. The Sanskrit word for health is swasthya. It means becoming centered. It means coming to one's own self. Realizing one's own self. Swa means self. Swastha means getting rooted in the self. People are not rooted in their own selves, hence they are clinging to others. All clinging is an indication that you are afraid, that if you are left alone, you will not be alone, you will be simply lonely, miserable. The West has yet to recognize this tremendously significant fact. The Western religions have remained confined to prayer. They have not touched even the periphery of meditation. For the simple reason, because meditation means nothingness. And to them, nothingness has only one connotation, that of loneliness, emptiness. And they start feeling as if you are nothing, then you will start falling into an abyss. You will be lost. But we have tasted a totally different quality of nothingness. We have tasted the hidden godliness in it. We have known the uttermost of bliss in it. We have known its benediction. It is my own experience that there is no greater joy than to be alone. The joy of love is secondary. And the joy of love is possible only if you have known the joy of being alone. Because then only you have something to share. Otherwise, two beggars meeting each other, clinging to each other, cannot be blissful. They will create misery for each other. Because each will be hoping, and hoping in vain, that the other is going to fulfill me. The other is hoping the same. They cannot fulfill each other. They are both blind. They cannot help each other. I have heard about a hunter who got lost into the jungle. For 3 days he could not find anybody to ask for the way out. And he was becoming more and more panicky. 3 days of no food and 3 days of constant fear of wild animals. 3 days he was not able to sleep. He was sitting awake on some tree, afraid he may be attacked. There were snakes, there were lions, there were wild animals. After the third day, The fourth day, early morning, he saw a man sitting under a tree. You can imagine his joy. He rushed. He hugged the man. And he said, what joy! And the other man hugged him. And both were immensely happy. And they asked each other, why you are so ecstatic? He said, I was lost and I was waiting to meet somebody. And the other said, I am also lost and I am waiting to meet somebody. But if we both are lost, then the ecstasy is just fullest. So now we will be together lost. That's what happens. You are lonely, the other is lonely. Now you meet. First the honeymoon, that ecstasy that you have met the others. Now that you will not be lonely anymore. But within 3 days, or if you are intelligent enough, then within 3 hours. It depends how much intelligent you are. If you are stupid, then it will take longer time, because one does not learn. Otherwise, the intelligent person can immediately see after 3 minutes that what we are trying to do, it is not going to happen. The other is as lonely as I am. Now we will be living together. Two lonelinesses together. Two wounds together. Cannot help each other to be healed. Two blind people leading each other. Kabir says both are bound to fall in a well. Sooner or later. And more possibly sooner than later. But nothingness, meditativeness, no-mindness is a totally different phenomenon. Loneliness is natural. You are born lonely. And immediately the child starts searching and seeking for the other. For the mother, he starts searching. He starts groping. He clings to the mother. He does not want even to be left for a few moments alone. He starts crying. He starts screaming. He makes much fuss, so the mother comes back. He learns the language, how the mother can be manipulated. It is a very strange world. Even small babies become politicians. They know how to manipulate. They will start crying, they will start weeping. Once it happened, I went to see a friend, with one of my friends driving me. His small son had come with him, not more than 3 years old. The friend went into the other person's house to inquire whether he is there or not. I was sitting in the back of the car and the child was sitting in front. The child somehow fell over and hit his head against the wheel. I closed my eyes as if I have not seen. He looked at me remain silent. After 10 minutes, when his father came back, he started crying. I said, "This is not right. This is not fair. Why are you crying now?" He said, "And then what to do? What was the point of crying? You were not even looking at me." I said, "Now it cannot be hurting. That time it must have hurt, I know. But he knows the politics, because he understood immediately that this man will not take any note of it. Even if I cry or weep, it is useless." When the father is back, then the child behaves differently when his mother is there. When the mother is not there, he is far more grown up, far more mature, because he has to be alert and cautious. He is alone. The mother is not there. When the mother is there, he can do anything. He can take risks. From the very childhood, we know the negative aspect. But the positive aspect has to be discovered. It is a lifelong discovery. One has to go on discovering it. Meditation is nothing but the method of discovering the positive aspect of nothingness, the positive quality of it. Meditation means dropping the content of the mind very consciously, knowingly that you are dropping it. And when you have dropped everything, suddenly you realize that everything has disappeared, but you are. And you are more full than ever, because all those things, all that junk that you have been carrying all along, was simply taking your space. Now the whole space, the whole sky is available. And your heart can open its petals. We call it in the East the 1,000-petaled lotus. Now there is a space. With all the junk that you carry in your mind, where is this space for the 1,000-petaled lotus to open? You are not spacious enough. You are so full of junk, rubbish, that only weeds can grow in you, not roses. It is impossible for the roses to grow. They need a little spaciousness. Nothingness is spaciousness. And to be spacious means to be vast. The moment you feel nothingness in its positive quality, you feel vastness. You feel infinity. You don't see any limit anywhere. You are unlimited. Even the sky is not the limit. That experience makes you enlightened. That experience makes you full of light, life, love, so full that you start overflowing. That sharing is now possible. Only a meditator can be a lover. In the past, people have tried to be lovers or to be meditators. Both have failed. Lovers have failed because they were not meditators. And without meditation, you don't have anything to share. Before you can share something, you have to have it. And the meditators have failed because they were not real meditators. They were doing something else in the name of meditation. Concentration, they were doing, contemplation they were doing, prayer they were doing, chanting they were doing, and thousand other things they were doing, but not meditation. In fact, they were avoiding meditation in a religious way. Ordinarily, people avoid meditation in worldly ways, and your so-called saints avoid meditation through otherworldly ways. But it is the same, avoiding. One has to discover the positive quality of nothingness. One has to be courageous enough to go into it. Once you have known it, you have known everything that is worth knowing. Then you can share. Not only then you can share, only then you will be able to understand Quran, the Bible, the Gita. Because those are expressions of people who had known the same positive emptiness, the same beautiful nothingness. You cannot understand Christ unless you are a Christ. You cannot understand Buddha unless you are a Buddha. Before being a Buddha, you will be simply a parrot repeating Dhammapada. Before being a Muhammad, you cannot understand a single word of Quran. That is impossible. Because unless you have the same consciousness and the same connection with the ultimate source of things, how can you understand Muhammad? No Mohammedan understands Muhammad. No Christian understands Christ. No Buddhist understands Buddha. No Jaina understands Mahavira. They are simply imitators, repetitors, just going on parrot-like mechanically. And their whole effort is how to fill the negative nothingness. The negative nothingness has not to be filled. You have to be consciously aware of it, that yes, it exists there. The moment negative emptiness is joined with awareness, it becomes positive. The miracle happens. That very moment, the alchemy transforms you. Let me repeat. Negative nothingness plus awareness is equal to positive nothingness.
We're almost at the end of today's program. You heard music before the discourse by Milarepa and Narayani, a song called The Flowers Will Shower. Then there was Miten, from his CD Blown Away, singing Anything Can Happen, and an instrumental piece of music by Shastro, from his CD Bandole, called Shanai. After the discourse, there was a small instrumental piece of music from a CD made in Pune that goes together with their Gurdjieff dances. This one is called Crystallization. Goodbye, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the program and stay tuned to Osho Radio. We're going to finish with a song by Maduro called You Are a Cloud Full of Rain. Goodbye, take care, and namaste.
With the universe. universe, I'm dancing to.